The Overman Warrior is the kind of site where you go to read about local Ohio history and end up reconsidering whether ancient earthwork builders had help from outside the solar system. And honestly, that's a fair trade.
Rich Hoffman takes us deep into that territory today. Ancient mounds, inscribed stones, and the question of what intelligence, human or otherwise, has been shaping civilization from the beginning.
Let's start with the Newark Holy Stones and the case for non-human fingerprints on Ohio's ancient landscape.
The post opens with a personal visit, a trip to the Johnson Humrick House Museum in Coshocton, Ohio, where the Newark Holy Stones are held. The question it presses is whether institutional archaeology can fully account for what's encoded in these sites and objects, or whether the framework itself is too narrow.
And the museum's current panels, for what it's worth, call the stones 19th century forgeries, which is the tidy answer the Post keeps poking at.
The Post is direct about why that answer feels incomplete. Here's the line that anchors it. The possibility that non-human intelligences have interacted with human beings across deep time is no longer the fringe claim it once was. Government releases on UAPs in recent years have normalized the conversation in ways that would have been impossible even a decade ago.
So the UAP disclosure moment is doing real work here, not as a distraction, but as permission to revisit old questions with new seriousness.
Exactly. The Newark earthworks themselves are central to that case. The Post describes them as tracking the moon's 18.6-year nodal cycle with geometric precision, and then extends that into a navigational argument. If entities experience time dilation, these lunar-aligned earthworks function as ground references for calibrating not just where you are, but when.
Which reframes the whole complex from ceremonial site to cosmic waypoint. Ribbons on trees in a forest, the Post calls it, except monumental and landscape scale.
The Post also brings in David Wyrick, the surveyor who discovered the Decalogue Stone in 1860, a carved figure with Hebrew inscriptions. The mainstream reading is Civil War-era political motivation, monogenism versus polygenism, the biblical argument against slavery. The Post acknowledges that evidence, but calls it incomplete. Wyrick was managing chronic pain with laudanum, already immersed in the mounds, and the Post raises the possibility that what came through him felt as if it came from outside himself.
That's a careful move, not claiming the stones are ancient, but asking whether the origin of the impulse matters as much as the origin of the carving.
And the Post connects this to a broader pattern. The Wilmington Tablet, an Edina sandstone piece the Post's author found a replica of for $5 in the museum gift shop, carries edge markings that suggest a systematic identity or ritual status marker. The Post reads these tablets alongside the earthworks as part of the same question: precise knowledge appearing suddenly in multiple places in ways that invite asking where it came from.
$5 for an artifact that raises questions archaeology hasn't settled. That's the best museum gift shop story I've heard.
The Post is careful to say it respects the archaeological labor. What it questions is the institutional reluctance to hold anomalies open rather than explain them away. And that's what the book The Politics of Heaven is framed as addressing. The full picture, the Post argues, needs more than one discipline and more than one kind of evidence. That tension between documented record and larger pattern is really the spine of everything here, and it doesn't stay confined to Ohio.
What stays with me is the image of sitting quietly in front of the Decalogue Stone while the grandchildren wait, and still not being able to let the question go.
The Post ends exactly there. The stones keep asking, the earthworks are still standing, and the disclosures are still coming. The conversation isn't closed.